Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. The show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you notice I'm just right up front with it. So that just means we've got a lot of stuff to plow through. So before I get too far, let me cover the few things you need to understand. This is the only show on the airwaves, on the internet, that actually has an irrefutable solution in getting the federal government back into compliance with the Constitution. With that, in doing that one thing, it will be a rippling effect that will ripple all the way through your state as well as your local government. I'm going to get into some recent obstacles. They're just obstacles, right? Either way, either we're going to be successful in doing this or we are going to rue the day that we allowed our liberties to slip through our hands. So as you understand, this show goes through academic evidence and provides you with academic solutions as to what we need to do. Because Republic Review is an academic solution. It's not just academic, it's viable. It is the only constitutional solution. And so on top of that, one of the things that we want to share with you is our listen line number. Make sure you put this into your speed dial, at least into your contacts, 605-562-4209. This way, this same time every day, Monday through Friday, you'll be able to catch this show and go through the... So we have two types of shows here, and most of you understand this, so I just want to explain the two types of shows that we have. One show is giving you the academic evidence. We actually read the documents. I do not want you to take my word for it. We're going to read what Madison said. We're going to read what Mr. Iredell said, what Mr. Nicholas said, and so forth and so on. That way you hear their words and you understand without a doubt exactly what they were attesting. The other types of shows that we have, and it's the only other type of show, it's all marketing. Because the bottom line is, it's not about getting you fixated on the, as we call it, the grapefruit du jour, or the grapefruit of the day. And just to give you the little history behind the grapefruit metaphor or reference, Jerry Doyle, a very provocative talk show host by the name of Jerry Doyle, used to call the headline news the grapefruit, because what it was a distraction. What it was to get the American audience into looking and watching and getting you so engrossed and showing you every side of that grapefruit so that you would not be getting engaged in anything else. So the bottom line, these things are wastes of time. If you understand what the heck is going on, nothing happens that fast. Nothing happens that fast. We have time. If we focus, we can be productive in getting in meeting our expectations and getting our goals met so that we can actually get rid of federal tyranny. Anyway, so again, that listen line number is 605-562-4209. And let me just start off with this, because I want to share with you my latest obstacle in trying to get as many tines into the rake as we possibly can. Now, when we're talking about restoring the constitutional republic as the framers put it in motion, as they instilled it, what we have to do is we have to get to a point where we restore the paradigms as well, the true paradigms of liberty. Now, one of the problems that we have, and it's a huge problem, because why is corruption such a problem? Why is it that there is so much corruption in all types of political offices? Well, one of those problems is that we no longer have, political institutions, whether they be parties or offices or what have you. We no longer have any process of holding people accountable. Does that make sense? In other words, there is no way to hold a person accountable for their actions. Even though they take an oath, even though they swear to support the Constitution, if they violate the Constitution, there's no way to hold them accountable. Actually, there is a way. Section 3, everybody that listens to this show, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is the process of removing and banning. That's how we get rid of, for lifetime, and as a matter of fact, this is well within the Constitution as well. When somebody's been impeached because they've committed a crime, that the intent of the impeachment is to ban them from public honor. So the mores of our country have been lost because we no longer have the commitment to honor and personal integrity. And so what we need to do is we need to work together in restoring and changing that paradigm. And the best mechanism I have, so the best mechanism I believe that we've got, because first off, there's so many integral parts to this problem of corruption of our morals, that we actually have to get rid of the education. So what we have to do, Republic Review is the answer. I don't want to just say that out there. What I want to do is I want to lay out this argument. If you understand what Republic Review does, then Republic Review will get rid of the federal government indoctrinating our children. It'll get the government out of the way of hindering and obstructing religion from being in the education curriculum. If you understand the framers, and we'll get into these things. As a matter of fact, I'll probably get into the good old Northwest Ordinance, because we've never covered that either. We want to go through all these different documents that actually prove the paradigm that we've been asserting here on this show. So trying to create this macro view of what our real problem is. Why is it that, you know, nobody wants to be held accountable? Everybody wants to have latitude. That way they can serve themselves. They can make advantages financially, politically, however, whatever the capital is that they're seeking, people can take advantage. There once was a time in the founding of this nation that we were a nation of honor and integrity. And as a matter of fact, I don't go out on a limb. I'm being very honest here in saying that when the framers were designing our constitutional republic, honor meant more to man than life itself. And so when a person would try to impugn or try to damage the character, oh, you're a liar. That right there, my friends, being called a liar, gave that person being accused of being a liar the opportunity to clear his name by challenging that person to a duel. Why do you think, and as I read through the different ratification debates, it got very heated. Why do you think they still maintained a civil accord? That accord was designed on the mores of society because they knew there were consequences when you damage somebody's character. Today, character means nothing. Honor means nothing. Oh, well, okay, so you're serving yourself and you did these things so you could pocket more money or so you could get elected. Okay, well, everybody does it. We have to stop. And again, we have to come up with a solution. So the obstacle is, what is that solution? Well, I believe it's a pledge. I believe it could, let's just change that context, because what Madison did when he referred to our Constitution as a social contract, I think maybe that's the new term, because it's been vexing. And I had a conversation today with a committee member from Wyoming, and it started getting my mind thinking on these things. And so if you understand what a pledge is kind of like a social contract. We have to come up with a social contract where people of character, people of integrity, are willing to sign those types of pledges, that type of a contract that they refuse to damage their character, they refuse to damage their name, the honor, their reputation. There you go. That's a better word. They don't want to damage their reputation by just being known for, you know, doing whatever necessary. And we're going to get into this as well, because what we really have is just a bunch of whores in political office, because all they're out to do is they're trying to either get money, they're trying to get power, they're whores for different things. And I don't mean to besmirch the prostitution profession. Anyway, we do have these challenges that we need to overcome. And so one of the things we're doing with the committees and the things we're trying to do with Reclaiming the Republic is, how do we get real people within offices? And I mean political champions or politicians, public servants, to become champions of these social contracts, to be champions for the Constitution in signing these types of contracts. How do we get them to get there? Well, first off, we have to get them to own it. And if we get them to own it, then I think they will carry it as champions. So anyway, let us come right back after these two promos, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. So let me lay this out here. What I want to get into today is the impeachments, as well as finishing my compendious summation on the marketing, because the two types of shows, again, we have is the academic, getting into the documents and where I editorialize a little bit. And the other show is what I call the marketing, where we get you so infuriated. How bad does it have to get you involved? The whole point of marketing is to get you to take action. And so that's why we go through the news, so I can not poke you in the eye, but actually poke you in the backside. Come on, let's get going. How much more, how much worse does it have to get? So the bottom line is, back to these social contracts, back to this problem that we have, and as I was going on into break, that we have to get our public servants to become the champions of this. But how do we do that? Because bottom line, right now, public service is the furthest thing from a public servant's mind. There are good public servants out there that say, I'm here to support the voters, I'm supporting the voters, I'm supporting the voters. Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to fulfill your oath. In other words, if your voters want you to do things that's bringing, you know, unconstitutional money in or what have you, then you're violating the Constitution, because it's unconstitutional to take money from the federal government that they don't have any constitutional powers to grant or give that money away. So what do we do? How do we get these public servants from changing their paradigm? Well, first off, we have to actually demand public service, because really, if you understand the public servant or the elected official and what they're supposed to be doing, if you understand that they are supposed to be serving, then we have to get them from moving from serving themselves to actually serving the public. Unfortunately, and this goes down to a long time conversation that I've had, that we don't have time to go through a grassroots movement in convincing the electorate. Our Revolutionary War was never fought that way. What we have to do is we have to get people to actually take a stand on principles, not on some conservative ideals, but very specific principles of supporting the Constitution and restoring our constitutional republic. It's that simple. When you have a self-servant say, well, I don't want to be held to some pledge because it doesn't allow me to do things in serving my constituents. Hold it. If you're serving your constituents in a way that is unconstitutional, then what you're doing is you're committing moral perjury and violating your oath of office. Now, as I've railed, and everybody understands, has listened to this show for any point in time, for any period of time, I should say, because I go through this a lot. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment clearly states that any public servant from the federal down to the local county or town, citizen, even boards of education, anybody that raises their arm to a square and takes an oath that they will support the Constitution, if they do something that is a violation of the Constitution, case in point, if a city council says that we want to become a sanctuary city for illegal aliens, then they're violating the Constitution in so many different ways. And I won't go through them now, but that's a clear violation of the Constitution, and every single one of them should be removed. The problem is that we can't get them to invoke and to enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. It is one part of the Constitution that gives teeth to those who violate their oath or those who commit moral perjury. When you want to get rid of people, if all of a sudden we started creating the standard, hey, you know, we don't care what you do as long as you don't violate that Constitution. Because bottom line, our problems go away when they start complying to the Constitution, because that gets rid of the Department of Education, Department of Energy, the Department of Housing, health care, all of these unconstitutional socialistic programs go away. So what we have to do is we have to actually start chanting, start demanding as a party. And this is where we have to go. I truly believe that as a party, the party has to stand up and say, look, there's this thing called Section 3 in the 14th Amendment. You either uphold your oath of office or we're going to start removing you from the party. and you will no longer be able to run as a party. You can go run as a Democrat. What does that mean? Well, okay, you can't be a Republican anymore, or you can't be a Constitution Party member anymore. Well, what that means is in a red state like Wyoming or the Dakotas or Kansas and most of the United States, because most of the United States are red, or the states in the United States, what that means is in most of those states, if the Republican Party actually takes that position, that's how they get rid of rhinos. That's how they start enforcing it. So we don't need to do a real grassroots movement. What we have to do is, if the Republican Party really cares about righting the ship and draining the swamp and enforcing the Constitution, then they would actually become the champions of the oath of office, that they become the champions of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, there's an organization out there that has started this, you know, campaign on trying to teach people the, you know, the importance of Article 6 and the oath of office. Well, it's nice that we have to, you know, so the John Birch Society says, no, don't worry about Article 5, worry about Article 6, the oath of office. But they don't point to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They don't point to the enforcement side of this. The paradigm was very clear. If you commit moral perjury, you need to be removed from office. So I implore you, I ask that you, if you're not already involved, and I say this not very often, but I'm going to say this, if you're not involved in your party, you need to be, because that's where the leadership is. And I truly believe that that's where we can make the biggest gains, the biggest 2-square, 3-square, multiple square moves in moving our nation and our republic in the direction we need it to go, if we are to restore our Constitution and preserve our liberties. Because right now, they're taking our liberties left and right. Now, the other thing I wanted to say, and I haven't even gotten into our sponsor for Red State Coffee. So I'll get into that in just a second. But the one thing I wanted to say is that I did finish the article. Now, it is not complete. I'm going to be sending it out, and I'll be posting it. But by all means, if there's a there's a grammatical problem, misspelled word, or anything that I've missed, because I'm not a very good editor. I can write, but I'm just not a good, I cannot edit myself. I look at it and that's how I think. And so I think necessarily with bad, you know, have you ever seen one of those tests where, you know, the words aren't even spelt right? They're just fractions of words or what have you. And you can read it very clearly. That's how my mind thinks. And so I don't see those things just jump out at me. So anyway, if you find anything that requires correction, by all means, you're going to want to read why our Second Amendment rights really isn't about Second Amendment rights as much as many people think. It is about preserving liberties in a way you haven't even considered. Because bottom line, what this article is supposed to do is it is supposed to help pull the wool from over your eyes, from over your head, so that you can see the reality of the federal tyranny we are living under. Because the Second Amendment starts off with a well-regulated militia is necessary in preserving, blah, blah, blah. It's something like that. And as a matter of fact, well, you know me. Why in the heck would I, you know, just start spouting on anything that doesn't actually provide you the details? So this is exactly what the Second Amendment actually starts off with. And, oh, shoot, I've got a closed program. Why? Because my browser just crashed on me. Here we go. Okay, the Second Amendment goes like this. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. So, if you understand that the Second Amendment really didn't have, you know, anything other than, well, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, they're actually tying a huge responsibility upon the citizenry. The Second Amendment was to ensure that the Constitution would be enforced by the citizenry, because it is our government. It is a self-government, which is why I challenge people to actually read the Constitution. And I will tell you that if you go to Article 1, Section 8, subsection, I believe it's 15, or maybe it's 17. Well, let's go to it, because, and when we come back, I will actually give you this part, and you'll see why it's really important that we have guns and the ability to stop oppression when we come back after these two quick promos. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So as we were going into break, I was telling you why the Second Amendment isn't really about you just necessarily being able to keep your guns, but actually putting and squarely putting a responsibility upon every citizen. Because it is we, the people, that are supposed to champion, are supposed to have an affinity for our self-government. And part of that is a responsibility in serving our self-government. Anyway, I'm going to preface this with this concept that the framers wanted to guarantee that there would not be a standing army. Now, when people talk standing army, and you say you use the word army today, in most people's perceptions or paradigms, they look at army as an army. Well, that is a military force in fighting foreign agencies or foreign armies, foreign governments, what have you, right? An army is a military branch, and actually, if you understand, the Army and the Navy falls under the Department of War or the Department of Defense today. But what is the Constitution stating with the militias? And it's right here, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15.
to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. In other words, they're to execute the constitutional laws made by the general government. So when they started to initiate an excise tax on whiskey, and those country bumpkins up there in Pennsylvania decided they're not going to pay an excise tax, they thought it was oppressive and they didn't think it was, you know, right or, you know, legal for them to do that. Well, what happened? George Washington got on his horse, mustered the militia, went up there, arrested people, and proved to them that they have the constitutional power to do this. Notice that they didn't go and create a Department of Internal Revenue Service to say, we are going to collect and give these guys guns to go in and seize your property. The constitutional process is that the militia is to enforce and execute the laws of the Union. Nowhere in here, in this Constitution, states that Congress has the power to create federal forces and arm them to execute the laws of the Union. Do you understand? The whole point of the Second Amendment was to guarantee that we would not allow a standing army. Start with S. Anyway, do you understand this? Do you understand that you have a responsibility in enforcing and complying to the Constitution? The federal government, in creating all these bureaucracies, has created a standing army. But instead of calling it a standing army, they call it a conglomerate of federal forces, which includes the IRS, the BLM, the ATF, the Environmental Protection Agency, so forth and so on, all the FCC, all of these organizations that have the ability to enforce the laws in the states, federal laws in the states, and they're all unconstitutional, by the way. All of these laws that are being executed and or enforced is being done all unconstitutionally, because bottom line, would the militia be willing to submit, or I should say oppress, their family and their neighbors because of housing issues, because the federal government wants to make laws, unconstitutional laws, over housing, over health care, or what have you? That is why we have had the wool pulled over our eyes for well over a century. Since 1849, when they created the Home Department, or the Department of Interior. And I go through this a bit, and I've probably been a little redundant, so forgive me. But that's how important this message is. We are living under federal tyranny and oppression that is all unconstitutional. So I want you to read this article. I want you to share this article with as many people as you can. So by all means, you can point them to the article page. And that way, and it'll be in a PDF. And as soon as I get the article page, it'll be this week, I will have a new page on Reclaiming the Republic, which is the hot constitutional article. But I do have a constitutional article page where you can go and read all my constitutional articles. But this one's hot. This one is, so we're going to have like the headline or the recent headline news. And this way we're trying to wake people up. Because friends, if you don't realize we're living under federal tyranny, then this right here connects all the dots for you. There is no greater tyranny. The whole point in a standing army back in the days of Britain was the ability for the federal government to take your land. And who operated the land use of the forest and so forth? It was the sheriffs. Back in the days of the Constitutional Republic, the sheriffs were the ones that were oppressing the people. It was a part of the standing army. And they were like the local commanders that would allow the redcoats or whomever to come in and actually do searches of the houses and quartering and all these terrible things. The framers understood that that was the... That was the evil of government, and they understood how to protect that. That's why they made it so that a militia was the only constitutionally sanctioned body in enforcing any laws that come from the federal government. Because now it is you, it is your neighbor that has the opportunity to be that check and balance in the system to say, hey, you can't do this. It means everybody gets to be the whistleblower in identifying that, hey, this isn't constitutional. But instead, what they've done is they've created these bureaucracies telling us they can get away with this, and that these kids or people that, you know, join these bureaucracies, whether it's the FBI or what have you, and they go, hey, you know, you're going to go off over into this, you know, state that's 2,000 miles away or however far, and even though you're not a resident, you don't know anybody there, it's your job to enforce it. This is how Lavoie Finicum was murdered by another American citizen, because that poor sap that was doing unconstitutional enforcement truly believed he had the power of the law behind him, when clearly the Constitution says otherwise, that it had to have been a militia person to enforce the laws. And I'm going to tell you, had we used the militia, there would be no federal lands within any states. And I told you the history behind the Home Department. The reason the Home Department was created was they had realized that the continental United States was done. They had it all mapped out into territories, and it was just a matter of time when all of that land became states, which means that this little bureaucracy that was created as a part of the federal government was going to go away. And instead of sunsetting that department or that little bureaucracy under Congress, they solidified it, and then they started creating these hooks in the latter states to maintain. And it was all done in the name of maintaining bureaucracy and employment for the people that were managing territories. That is how public servants all of a sudden start serving self instead of public, instead of doing their job in aligning and supporting with the Constitution. We need supporters of the Constitution. We don't need supporters of self. We don't need self-promoters. What we need are promoters of the Constitution. It's that simple. So how do we do this? And I'm going to get back to that original question when we started this off. How do we get these social contracts enforced? Well, friends, if your local representative, your senator, your state representative, not federal, local state, if your local state representative is not playing by the rules and supporting the Constitution, becoming a champion of the Constitution, and they are self-servants instead of public servants, then you need to replace them. It's that simple. You need to stand up and replace them. So with that, and I don't know, I'm going to presume I'm coming up, yeah, just a little over a minute on the break. So some of the other things that I wanted to get into, and we want to do the compendious summation. So obviously I'm going to be running long, and I'll probably take a couple of days to finally finish this before we can get into the Tory Acts and the Northwest Ordinance and so forth. One of the things that I also wanted to throw out there, and it'll take me a minute to do this, I want you to think about this. Apple is donating $2.5 billion to affordable housing. Now, the question I have is, in this whole picture, is Apple cooperating with local government? Are they working with federal government and mandating in a neighborhood next to you where you may not want affordable housing, where it may actually drag the value and it may, you know, change the makeup of your crime and so forth? Because you got to remember, there are consequences to doing this, to creating this type of vestige, or this bastion, or little stronghold of people that are entitled, in the entitlement mind model. And so there are consequences. Are they actually working with the federal government and local governments, or whom are they working with in the government level? And what about this? If they've made that much money and they're throwing $2.5 billion into affordable housing, how about just paying their employees better? Huh? Would not the employees say, you know, hey, are you guys making that much money that you can't share that with us? Really? Now, I will say this, that it is a far better option for corporations and private citizens to provide handouts than it is for the government to do this. So with that, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so as I was just saying with Apple, I think it's far better for a private company or a private individual to do this. But I do believe that there needs to be coordination at the local level. I do not believe that a unincorporated area, or as well as a city area, the county or somebody has to step in and say, hey, look, what is it you're trying to do? What is it that you're trying to bring into our community? Because there are consequences to this. As a matter of fact, I do not believe socialism, whether it be a handout. Now, it's far better for it to be a handout from a private citizen or organization than it is from government. Because bottom line, all you're doing is enabling bad behavior. And there's the worst thing is when you got government getting behind this. So I truly believe that there needs to be some checks. Our whole system is based on checks and balances, right? And the local governments are the ones that are supposed to demand these checks and balances. They're the ones that are supposed to be looking out after our best interest. Maybe that's where we start, and that's exactly where we start, getting you to actually run for office, especially get you involved in the party, realize the problems, and take over by running and becoming the champion for the Constitution. We have to become ideologues once again instead of self-servants and manipulating people. Anyway, the other thing, because it's already begun, Circus Maximus has turned into the darker side. And what we're seeing today, because you've probably heard that there's been this union of Islam and communism, because Bernie, and the communist, and the Islamist Omar are kind of uniting in this campaign. And to me, I'm just telling you that if you understand politics, what's in it for me, everybody, there's got to be something in it for me. There's no doubt in my mind, Omar is whoring for a vice president position. And you're going to start seeing a lot of other people jumping in, trying to assist who they think might be the, you know, the person to, like Elizabeth Warren, who's going to be whoring for her to become the vice president. Because those who are beginning to lead the pack out of Circus Maximus, they will start being confronted, or I should say there'll be those that are coming out, out of the closet or what have you, to say, oh, well, this is the person that we need because this person supports all of these things. Anyway, I find it interesting, but what is more interesting is the finite amount of time that we are losing as we waste more and more time talking and trying to fight these types of things. What we have to do is we have to start finding politicians and good people to challenge rhinos and those people who will not support Republic Review and demanding compliance to the Constitution. Here's another good thing, because you've heard me say this several times, and anybody that is a libertarian that believes we shouldn't be policing the world, then you don't understand. As a matter of fact, we should be doing it, but there should be a, maybe I don't want to have a UN force, but there's nothing greater than the United States as a force. There's nothing greater than the United States becoming the central government of the world. Why is it that Estonia, I'm just throwing it out there, and I know this challenges people's paradigms. They get kind of upset with me to think Estonia, Chile, and maybe even Japan becoming states of the United States. That's ludicrous. Why would we want to do that? Because the concept of the United States was not just limited because of the continent. If you believe that the divine hand of providence inspired our Constitution so that we could live under the privileges of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, then you can't tell me that the divine hand of providence only wanted liberty to be extended to us and not the rest of the world. Does not the divine hand of providence love all children, all of his children, all of the world? Why would we not be offering the greatest government system to the entire world instead of allowing ourselves to be subjugated to the tyrannical United Nations, to the facade of global communism? Now, so back to what I was saying. If you understand the importance of policing the world and maintaining the free flow of commerce, remember pirates that were seizing ships have usually operated in one area of the world. How many pirates have seized ships around Australia? How many pirates have seized ships in the West Pacific or, you know, Northern Europe? It's been around Africa. And so it's been a lot in the Red Sea and so forth. And now a Norwegian ship has just been kidnapped off of West Africa. So it looks like the problem is going, you know, continental for the entire continent of Africa, that any type of commerce ship that flows is at risk of being hijacked or kidnapped. Now, if you understand the importance of commerce being able to flow unfettered without this type of thing, then you can understand why we need to, and that's why other nations, Norwegian, the people of the Scandinavian countries and so forth, because they don't spend hardly anything. And remember, Trump went into NATO poking them in the eye saying, why is it that we're funding your defense? Why is it that we have to be the cops of the world at the expense of the American taxpayer? Why is it that the American taxpayer is actually subsidizing communism around the world? Everybody needs to be paying a fair share of maintaining, you know, a free flow of commerce and keeping gangs from forming in the oceans or the high seas and so forth. So I find it interesting that it's out there and this is starting to grow, but this actually feeds the whole concept that we do need to have a global cop, a global naval force. And if the United States actually grows to a point where we're actually, you know, we have states in every continent of the world, You know, that means that everybody, you know, what is our revenue base? Our revenue base globally grows to where we now have the ability. And as a matter of fact, what is the likelihood of having a real civil war amongst the states? Because you got to understand, the Civil War itself was not a civil war, because the southern states were not trying to take control of the United States. They were just trying to separate themselves. And so, and I've talked way too much about the Civil War in the past. I don't want to go down that path. But the whole point is that if all nations or more and more nations around the world started joining the United States, it would force a complete paradigm shift. It would actually, what's the best way? It would disband and dissolve the United Nations. It would force and move us towards a movement of global peace, because more and more people are seeking and trying to preserve individual liberty and individual sovereignty instead of nationalism and so forth. And that's why I believe Trump and America should be constantly, you know, championing to other countries, don't you want this for yourselves, for your people, what have you? And if you do, then, you know, petition, and you can go through the 30, 40 year process or whatever that process should be. And of course, we already know that it means that they change their currency, they change their legal system, they change their language and so forth to comply to the United States. And once they meet those standards, just like in the territorial days, once those standards are met, you become a state. So anyway, I hate to sound like, you know, Miss America, but it is the path forward to global harmony. One of the things before we completely run out of time, I did not plug this sponsor. I mentioned it before. We have Red State Coffee. I would ask and I beg and plead, because what we would love to have is we would love to have you try it and then give us a call, 425-270-5416. Try the coffee. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Right there on the homepage, we've got the Red State Coffee. It'll take you to eBay. You can buy the coffee, and then you can call us up after you've tried it and tell us. If you get shammed or what have you, let us know. Let us know, because it's our job to hold our sponsors accountable, and we want to make sure that our sponsors is being well served by you and you by them. So it is our job to try to make everybody happy, and we want to hear your feedback. What do you think of Red State Coffee? Don't forget that they offer a whole bean and fresh grind. With that, what we're going to be doing in our next episode is we're actually going to wrap up our compendious summation, because on Friday, on our last episode, I was kind of going through the Clintons, Obamas, and the Bushes and so forth, and their globalist agenda. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to give you this overall picture of how evil the world has become, because there has never been a time where we have seen such evil and such compulsion towards forcing people to do what you have to do or being killed. And it is at a global level. So with that, tune in tomorrow. We'll wrap up the compendious summation along with some extra marketing for you in our next episode. God bless. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.